Welcome once again to the Gaming News Canada show. As always, I'm your host, Steve McAllister. I'm more than a little juiced about today's show because we get to spend some quality time with two gentlemen whose lives are consumed with finding new ways to tell stories at the intersection of sports and sports wagering. We welcome back to the show not one, but two directors of content and brand, Michael Zitney from Sports Interaction and my Parlay Media Group partner, Kevin Kennedy of Homestand Sports. Boys, thanks very much for doing this. Michael, let's start with you here. The reason why I wanted to get you guys on this week before we head into the Easter long weekend is Sports Interaction and Homestand are teeing up with another partner on an event for the Blue Jays home opener in Tampa against the Tampa Bay Rays on Thursday afternoon. Michael, maybe you can just tee up what we're doing here.
Yeah, so Thursday night, we are partners with St. Louis Bar and Grill. We're going to be at the location at King and Bay, and we're going to be doing a live locker room. The locker room being the opportunity to go into our site and have a live watch-along party, providing betting advice throughout the game. We're a proud sponsor of the Gate 14 podcast with Johnny Junta and Avery Chinier. We did a test trial with them last September. Now we're excited to, we've signed them for the year, right? So we're really excited about this one. They do live watch-alongs for a few Jays games a week. So now that is going to be integrated into the actual locker room, into our app. So we figured kick off the Blue Jays season Thursday night at, you know, St. Louis being a partner. They have a massive cult-like following. So they're filling the place. We're really excited about that. And, you know, we've had these live locker rooms. We've kind of tested a bit, and we've kind of found, I think, the formula that really does work. And you know, taking it live is the next step, which is, you know, which is something I'm really excited about, especially with their following, anything they do, anything they post, just the engagement they get. And me selfishly, you know, being a diehard Blue Jays fan, and with the season kicking off, this is really exciting for me.
I don't think we've had Kevin Kennedy on the show since the days that we were on Clubhouse when we first started Parlay Media Group, Kevin. But for the audience who might not know Kevin, and Kevin was really successful pre-COVID running his talks events with Homestand, pitch talks and hoop talks. And you're Kevin, you're someone who loves live events. And so I'm thinking this is right in your wheelhouse, this event on Thursday night.
Yeah, for sure. It's really nice to see Sports Interaction's and investment in real life events. It's been a hard journey back from COVID for a lot of these kinds of events, live podcasts, live talk shows, and it takes an investment, and it's really hard to get people out off their couches. But when you get there, it's really special, and it really, for a brand, it really builds loyalty. And also these guys, these Gate 14 guys, have built a community, and they're providing an opportunity for those people in that community to actually see each other in person and not just online and not just in the comments. But the beauty of it too is that we are going to provide a broadcast that will be able to reach well beyond the borders of downtown Toronto. So that community outside of Toronto can also enjoy that community feeling.
Hey, Kev, is that perhaps the biggest evolution with live events when back to the days when you were doing your talks events that was really just a group of people getting together in bar and rubbing elbows with broadcasters and journalists and with sports fans, and now the fact that you're able to produce a show now, so it's just not the people at St. Louis Bar and Grill on Thursday night. It's anybody who has access to the locker room through the Sports Interaction app that they can actually watch what's going on.
Yeah, the technology has really improved and caught up. That's something that COVID actually helped in terms of that investment there. We used to have to bring in, you know, I remember streaming an event with CBC Sports where they had to bring a truck, you know, to stream it on their website. And, you know, it was $20,000 later, kind of an investment. So nowadays it's a little bit easier. The technology is there, and we can bring our mobile operation right into St. Louis and blast it out to the world from there. So that's been a really good boon for the company and for that connectivity outside of that, outside of the space.
And it really wasn't like a hesitation either. Like as soon as I kind of had the idea to do this live watch party, it was simple. Hey, Kev, can we do this? right? Yeah, absolutely, right? Like, it's that easy. And coming from the broadcast world myself as well, like knowing what goes on behind a live broadcast, live event, especially, you know, however many years ago, it's massive. But to be able to just go and do it, and like Kevin said, just, yeah, we'll bring cameras, we can make it work, they do a test, and yeah, we're ready to go on Thursday. So it's really exciting.
Hey, Kev, you know, there's so much talk these days about young people and not wanting to watch games and on their phones and looking at Instagram and TikTok and social media platforms. Do you still think with this generation there is an appetite to get together a live sports event? And again, but live sports event, it's not so much about a bunch of people sitting in chairs watching a game for 3 hours. It is the ability to have those conversations and as Michael pointed out, a chance to maybe get some sports betting advice and talk about the types of bets that are available.
Yeah, for sure. My opinion is that I don't blame the generation. I don't blame young people for not wanting to sit and in front of the TV and watch commercials for 3 hours of a baseball. Like, I don't, why, like, with all the options that we have for entertainment, why is it their responsibility to just be bored for 3 hours? Like, I get it. We look back and we're like, wow, we used to sit there and watch. Yeah, because we had four channels, right? Or whatever we had. And yeah, like, so, but there's an opportunity there. There is, and it's happening, right? The pitch clock is happening. These live events are happening. Michael's thinking about what is it going to take to get people to get off their couch, get off from in front of their like 4K the TV and watch the game. So that's, you know, the opportunity, right? We just can't keep doing the same things and expect people to come out when they have all the access to all the content in the world at home and on their phone. So there's an opportunity there. So I don't put the blame on the people. And I see the innovation that's happening in the game of baseball, in sports, because, you know, the audience is demanding that, right? Give me a reason to sit here for 3 hours. Give me a reason. And the name of Sports Interactions is really interesting because it does allow you to interact with sports. You know, it does allow you to, it answers that question. Why are you going to watch the game? What else is happening beyond the game, right? Beyond the commercials. Like, what can I do during the commercials that'll keep me interested, right? So I think we're all trying to innovate around that.
You know, Michael, listening to Kev brings me back to a conversation that Rob Manfred had at a conference 3-4 years ago, and he was relaying a chat he had with Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, telling Manfred that baseball was kind of ripe for legal sports betting because of the pace of the game. As Kevin points out, you have the pitch clock and breaks between pitches and breaks between half innings. It just seems baseball just lends itself to the type of live event that you're doing on Thursday night.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, the Gate 14 guys, they're not only, you know, YouTubers, entertainers, but they do bet, they understand the game, right? So we're partnering with them for a lot of reasons, but the fact that they understand, you know, the betting culture and the nuances for especially live in-game betting is massive for us. We did a test with them last September and they did a ride along. Here's the parlay. Here's what we're going to bet on tonight. They basically dumbed it down to, all right, here, go to the Sports Interaction app. You're going to log in, register. Here's our bet. Bo Bichette, 2+ hits, Vladimir Guerrero home run, and the Blue Jays win. To that extent, and we saw a jump in our book just based on that bet alone. So it was that's this kind of thing they're going to be doing, and live in game, especially like you mentioned, with baseball being a bit of a slower sport, lends the opportunity to, you know, okay, the Jays are down 2, but all right, Nate Pearson's coming in, or whatever it is. We know kind of. Sorry, there goes my Blue Jay fandom again. Yeah. And very hypocritical of some of the bullpen moves. But, you know, it does lend the opportunity for big comebacks, big bets, like all sports do. But baseball especially, because it's not like a rush, right? Like if you're watching a Raptors game, the Raptors are down by 4 with a minute left. It may be a bit of a rush to get that bet in. But baseball lends that opportunity to take your time, think about it. Talk with a friend and talk like what we're doing with the Gate 14 guys.
Michael, where does Major League Baseball and the Blue Jays kind of fit with your customers these days? And it's a really interesting time on the sports calendar, right? We're in the middle of March Madness right now with both the men's and women's tournaments, the Masters tournaments, three weekends away. We're coming to the end of the NHL and NBA regular seasons. Like, how popular is baseball with sports interaction customers?
To be honest, it's not massive. Baseball's not a big betting opportunity, but come July and August, it's the only thing in town pretty much, right? Like this summer, we are going to have the Olympics, but the Olympics typically aren't a big betting draw. Maybe we will, because of Team Canada basketball, there will be some, you know, a little bit more attention, but overall, really, baseball is the only game in town, and the Blue Jays, being Canada's team, that's what people will gravitate towards. But if you compare it to what's happening now or in the NFL season, it doesn't compare at all.
I'd like to ask both of you guys about the locker room. And Michael, when we had you on the podcast back in October, with the timing coincided with the launch of the locker room, I've enjoyed the shows. I think Albert Vartanian and Justin Pooney and Johnny Genton, I think Dave Bassel's been part of the locker room experience. It's something that's unique and different. And I know that's Kevin, since we started Parlay Media Group 3+ years ago, is something where you're, I think, beyond passionate, almost maniacal about looking to do something different. And maybe start with you, Kev, just, you know, where the locker room fits in terms of that creativity and that innovation that you're chasing on a seemingly daily basis.
Yeah, no, I think it's all about like community building, right? And it's a long play, because in order to get people to change their habits and commit, you know, to something like this on a regular basis, it takes time. But there's a big investment in building that community around the game. Like I mentioned before, you know, it is our task to build a second screen option for those fans, and one of them that's really entertaining, and what can really enhance my experience of watching a game, be it information, be it betting, like be it funny stories, right? Because I think that's the real opportunity there, is when you have as Zinni just mentioned, the ride along. It's like we're trying to, you know, like oftentimes we're on our own, we're at home. This is an opportunity to really watch with other people that are just as passionate as you are. And I think especially with the tech that supports it, it's a really interesting opportunity to connect with fans and build that community that we all want.
And Michael, how's the locker room worked from your standpoint?
I think we've done I'm thrilled with how it's worked out. And it was kind of, at the start, we would highlight the three big NFL games, the three biggest betting opportunities of the week. We saw some success there, but honestly, the most success we had was for our UFC events, right? And I think that came down to, not everyone watches the UFC. They don't have access. They're not going to a bar to watch it, and they're not going to pay the money for the pay-per-view, right? So it became their opportunity to follow along, and UFC being a huge betting night, that's where we saw a lot of success with it. We did try with Steve Dangle, which did really well for us, and I think that's a secret sauce that we've kind of come up with. It's those, not influencers, but a bit like micro influencers, people that are well connected to the team, that have a really big social following, especially on Twitter, that, you know the inside in and out, but also understand betting. And that's where we've seen our success.
Hey, Kev, are there some lessons that you learn and the talent and producers in terms of the locker room and the kind of content that you want to do and the kind of content that resonates with sports interaction customers?
Well, I think Michael, you know, mentions the special sauce, and we're continually just trying to experiment with new recipes, to continue the metaphor there. It's you know, we're all trying to find that fine balance between this betting content or betting advice and, you know, more of that, you know, mainstream traditional kind of, you know, talking head or sports analysis. Like, and that's going to continue. That experimenting is going to continue because as we're experimenting, the audience is getting more educated, right? The betting audience, the understanding, you know, fast forward, you know, go back a few years in Canada, the amount of people that knew what a parlay was or knew what a prop was, is a lot less than it is now. So I think that there's two streams happening, right? We're figuring out what is resonating, what that balance is, how much of betting, how much of storytelling, how much of that, and then, you know, combine that with as the audience, their education on the subject, you know, grows, then we can start to introduce even more betting content, because to the educated fan, I mean, it's the same. When I got introduced to betting content, it was really through the Bill Simmons podcast, and it didn't feel like there was a betting segment. Him and his buddies were just betting. They were talking about it, and that introduced me to it, and it felt like I knew a little bit more about what was actually happening. You know, now you look at, you know, the betting favorites to make the finals in the NBA, you know, the Nuggets and the Celtics. So, like, if I were to hear a pundit just say, oh, my prediction is that the Celtics and the Nuggets are going to be in the final, I know that that is not a very special opinion, right? The books already knew that. The books are telling me what is likeliest to happen. They've done the investment. They've done the work. And just figuring out how to tell those stories, right, in a way that's very accessible, you know, across the board from novice bettors to the pros.
Hey, Michael, when you hear Kev talk about that, it sounds pretty simple. And yet, you know, there's still this great debate going on, or seems to be this great debate going on around how do you make sports betting content not be a turnoff to sports fans who might not bet or just dabble in betting, but also trying to satisfy sports bettors. And again, when we spoke back in October, you know, I think the sports interaction relationship with Hockey Night Canada has been pretty successful this year. It's certainly a lot more successful than the first year in Ontario's regulated marketplace. And I think the reaction has been fairly positive to that. But does it feel to you like there's still this search and this debate on how you bring these two different types of content together?
I don't think so. As far as the Hockey Night deal goes, like that, I feel like we've become part of the conversation. We haven't forced it down viewers' throats. Hockey Night and Sportsnet, they've been fantastic partners, but it's a lot different than what they did in the past. If you compare it to what they've done, last year was all about hardcore betting. You really turned that casual sports fan off by just talking about betting. So now we've kind of, it's more branded content. We've become part of the conversation, part of that sports conversation. Where now our brand has been, you know, front and center for an entire season now. We've seen the lift every Saturday night when we are front and center. But I think that's the divide, and that's the compromise that we feel really worked and does work, because you're not forcing it down people's throats. And when everything opened up, I guess just over a year and a half ago, last April, everyone was inundated with everything. Like, we are still, like, ads are all over the place, but as far as people didn't want to be part of it, people were turned off. But now it's okay, sports interaction, it's more top of mind. If I'm going to be placing a bet, it's going to be with sports interaction, just because we are part of that, the hockey conversation, the narrative, whatever's happening in sport. Lastly, we do a Sportsnet parlay of the week, where the Ron McLean mentions it every week. And last week the parlay hit at +700, right? So thought is this week, yeah, there's our mention, right? There's our Johnny Junta ride along in Hockey Night in Canada, right? We're providing advice and bets that actually do hit, and that a casual sports fan could easily jump on top of and understand.
A word from our sponsor.
Hey there, sports fans. Are you looking for fresh and fun takes on the hottest topics in Canadian sports? Well, we've got just what you need. Introducing Homestand Sports Today, your go-to daily sports newsletter, bringing you the Canadian angle on the hottest NHL, NBA, footy stories, and more right to your inbox. But wait, there's more. Homestand Sports isn't just another text-heavy newsletter. Every story has its own video featuring our talented hosts like me, Albert Vartanian, giving you a newsletter experience like never before. And did I mention it's a free subscription? Subscribe now at homestand.ca.
Now back to the show.
Hey, Kev, do you feel like the networks or, you know, I guess mainstream sports media would call it, do you think they're starting to figure it out?
Like Michael mentioned, I mean, I no surprise at the beginning there was a saturation. I was sympathetic, like in terms of the content creators and the people making, you know, decisions around the content on broadcast. Like nobody knew what they were doing, and we're getting better. Everyone's getting better at it, and I think that you know, my position has been the same. It is information, and the books really provide the true sports fan with more information. And it can make their experience more entertaining, and they can actually interact with it instead of it being like a strictly passive experience as a fan, especially at home. So I think it's a really, like, it's a big opportunity to enhance your experience as a sports fan. And I think we're all getting better at the content, and I think the audience, the fans, are also becoming more and more educated. So that'll come to meet where the content is eventually, and I think it'll all work out in the end.
Michael, do you see more sports fans becoming sports bettors, and either, you know, through conversations you have around arenas or even at these live events, do you find that you are converting sports fans into getting a Sports Interaction account?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see that as you track people's bets and the amount they're putting in, right? Like if someone's starting off with $5, you know they're a novice bettor, they're a sports fan that probably latched on to a piece of content that we've done, or, you know, based on a big game or something. But yeah, it definitely, we are attracting more that, you know, that sports fan, me being, I would say, our target demo in that sense, right? Like I wasn't a bettor coming into this position either, right? So I kind of think with that hat as well. And that's how we do think to our, you know, with our content, how do we turn a casual sports fan into a bettor, right? And it is finding that narrative. It is finding a hook that they could latch on to, depending what the trends are. And if you go through our Instagram page or YouTube, you could see what we're doing, right? It is not, everything does revolve around betting, but at the end of the day, it's a sports conversation first, and then weaving in that betting conversation to end it.
It feels to me like, Kev, too, that having, being able to place a bet on your home team is just an extension from whether you're watching a game or you're at a live event or you're on Twitter following games. That sports betting is just another extension of being able to enjoy a game as a fan. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, it really also gives you something to do with your information. I love calling out my buddies who have these wild ideas and these opinions. I say, so fucking bet on it. See, like, put your money where your mouth is. And I think that's the opportunity. Before that, it's like, I guess you could play fantasy, so like that, but there's not much to do with your information, with your opinion, as a fan, you know, before sports betting opened up. And so it's something that you can actually, you know, you can make money with your information, and the more information that you have, the more money you can make. I mean, I'm not here to encourage excessive sports betting, but I feel like the conversation is always so binary, right? It's always like, oh, there's someone who, like, who doesn't bet, and someone who's addicted to betting, and like that, and there's everyone is in the middle. Everyone is, we're grownups, and we should be allowed to place these bets. These bets have been happening long time before it became legal. So let's not hold our pearls here and say like this is a really fun adult experience, and I'm all for it. And I do enjoy interacting with the game in this way, because I can test my knowledge, right?
Yeah, Michael, your thoughts?
Yeah, isn't that what our group chats, like kind of Kevin mentioned, with our buddies is all about? Right, like this. If you're bored on a Tuesday night and you want to watch the Cincinnati Reds take on the Pittsburgh Pirates, a very random baseball game, but no, yeah, even with my friends, right? It's a conversation. It's sports that, you know, it's the narrative that leads into entertainment. And at the end of the day, it is entertainment, and betting, definitely makes that sports experience a lot different. You have something on the line, you have interest. That's how you do bring in a casual fan who may not have any skin in the game. They're not a fan of the Blue Jays or whatever team, but if they're laying a bet that night on a same game parlay, then all of a sudden that'll lure them in a different sense, and they become a fan that night and beyond.
Michael, I quickly want to ask you about it. We're just over a month now, I guess, since the AGCO, the Alcohol and Gaming Commission Ontario, their new standards on the advertising and the use of athletes came into effect, and athletes are no longer able to be used in commercials, with the exception of responsible gambling messaging, which we've seen with Connor McDavid and BetMGM. But has there been any impact on how Sports Interaction does business with the new rules?
Not really for us in particular, because we did change our strategy back in September. We came out with a campaign that Americans don't know shit about hockey. That didn't involve athletes. Sure, we did have a partnership with Mitch Marner, Chris Pronger, and now Leon Draisaitl as well. But we were almost future-proofing ourselves at that point, becoming, you know, that challenger brand, not afraid to throw punches at our competition and take a different direction to our advertising without, you know, the big flashy lights and putting Mitch Marner front and center. And that did well for us. I really feel it did break through the clutter. That, along with our hockey night deal, really brought us into the conversation. We're top of mind for people when they're placing bets. We've seen the results. And we're moving forward with that. Not exactly Americans don't know shit about hockey, but along those same lines, that same type of language as we move forward. We sourced a second city actor for those spots. He was an improv guy who just went off the cuff on the streets of LA and New York, and just was just a real dude, right? And I feel he really speaks to what we are as a brand, and we're very happy with how that turned out. And moving forward, you'll see even more with him.
Hey, Kev, that reminds me, as Michael speaking, reminds me of the early days of Parlay, when you went out and found a young comedian named Jackie Perico, and some of the video work that Jackie did that was kind of fun. And it also leads me to ask you about, you know, again, that content, and we have these conversations often about, you know, do we need to educate people with videos, and do we need to provide responsible gambling messaging? And just wondering if your thoughts on that have changed at all over the 3 years that we've been together.
I just think that there's so much sports content that is so serious and humorless and bizarre, like, you know, to me, in terms of these are kids' games that we're all focusing on, and to be informed doesn't mean you have to be conservative and serious. And I don't really want, like, you know my opinion on the intermission panels, and it's just hilarious, because we have examples in the U.S. of people having fun out there and how that resonates, and we put these sort of boundaries on ourselves in terms of how we make content here. So there's not enough examples of really fun, humorous, you know, content out there. I remind my team here all the time that we are not in the business of having the most accurate, you know, like, informed opinion on sports in the whole world. There's no one keeping track of that. You need to be that. You need to be informed. You need to be accurate. That's just the bare minimum. We're in show business. This is the entertainment business. Like, you know, the audience deserves to be entertained and to be... and to laugh and to have fun, and to, these athletes are big boys and girls, and they can take some, you know, they can take some chirps. And I think we're so sort of afraid, and, you know, like I get it, there's gatekeeping that's around access to players and to teams. So everyone's very careful about those relationships. But ultimately, what is sacrificed there is the quality of content. So I remind our team, they really need to respect the audience, and to respect them is to entertain them, is to keep in mind that we're in show business. And I think that that's the big opportunity here. So as much as it's been a challenge, and as much as there's not a lot of examples that I can point my team to in this market in Canada of people that are doing stuff that I really, really, you know, like, there are a lot of examples in the US, and that's where we look for our inspiration. And you know, the campaign that Zinni and his team produced is a great example of taking a shot, taking a risk. It was a big risk, you know, but it's paying off, right? And it's resonating. And I think that's one example of where we can go and where we are going. So for me, it's really exciting.
And even looking at, for example, like the Gate 14 guys, right? They have their wild takes. They'll jump on board the Eric Swanson train and ride that for the year. Or was it Jordan Luplo last year? He's got a Luplo jersey hanging in from behind him, right? So it's just wild. It is, at the end of the day, it's about entertainment, and that's what they do best. And they do understand betting, right? So it's weaving that entertainment, that excitement that a sports fan is going to take away, and putting that betting narrative around it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess as an old fart here, or certainly the oldest fart with this trio, it seems to me the NBA on TNT panel, that's kind of the gold standard right now, where I'm not a diehard NBA fan, but I look for those segments on social media just because those guys are so funny and it's so damn entertaining, right?
Yeah. We need more examples of that here in Canada, right? So Gate 14 podcast is a great example of two guys who figured out, I mean, they're being themselves, but you know what? Like, that takes courage, right? When all the examples out there are more refined, more conservative, more, you know, like looking to build a career in media and all the relationships that go along with that, that takes courage. And I'd like to see more versions of these podcasts out there. Talented people, super informed, but clearly having fun and being authentic.
And what's funny is too, Kev, is that mainstream media is even picking up on it. Like Johnny appears on the Morning Drive show on TSN as a Blue Jays expert. I've heard him on The Fan as well. Right.
Yeah, so no kidding. Pat McAfee, right? Obviously there is on ESPN now. Right. And all on the way, he was like chastised. People that worked at ESPN, they didn't want to. And then all of a sudden, you know what matters to ESPN and the TSN of the world, right? Audience, right? At the end of the day, they're going to tell you that they want this content to be like this, very specific. They feel comfortable here until you have the audience, and then they like whatever you're doing, right? So for any aspiring creators out there, right, the only thing that matters to you is audience, and you need to build your community to get there. And you have to be authentic. The audience can sniff out any kind of stuff that's not real, and you're not going to see the results there.
And guys, I mean, the three of us have all worked in mainstream sports media, and I think something that doesn't get nearly enough sunshine these days is the fact that the media industry is a complete mess right now. And what this regulated sports industry has done is given people opportunities to work in the media business that aren't really available. Again, I'm dating myself here, but when I look at my 42 career in journalism and sports media, that just isn't possible today for a young person who graduates from a journalism school or a sports media program. And I think Michael, as Kevin said, there's an opportunity here for young people to get an opportunity and carve out their own path and get their foot in the door of the media through working with an operator like Sports Interaction.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, if you look across the board at our social channels, it is, we do employ young content creators, right? People that have a bit of a following, that are able to just have fun, be themselves. They didn't go to journalism school. Well, actually, couple did saying that, but it's and that's the world we live in. Fortunately or unfortunately, if you walk down the street and you see someone taking a selfie of themselves, and little do you know, that person has a million followers, right? So it's who follows them, and it's trying to find who has those followings in the betting circles, in the sports circles, and, you know, are they entertaining? Can they be themselves? And it just, that's the world we live in now.
Why should an industry remain the same? There is so many monopolies out there, and just in terms of whether it's the local, you know, newspaper, pre-internet stuff, like what? Yeah. So yeah, like it totally, you know, the advertising dollars are totally spread out, being sucked up by, you know, the Facebooks of the world. And yeah, so those jobs, they don't exist anymore. But there are new jobs and there are new opportunities there. And I think that the template is gone, right? So the template is gone, the pathway, the very specific pathway. You know, Steve, I remember getting offered an internship in fucking Rainy River, somewhere, you know, some Northern Ontario town to cover, you know, curling when I came out of journalism school, and I did my internships, and thank God those unpaid internships, like, thank God those aren't around anymore. Right. Like, that was bullshit. And now, you know, so now the path isn't as clear. But there's never been, you know, yeah, the path isn't clear to get sort of that traditional, you know, job. But there are a lot of like people out there as independent contractors making, a business of their own brand, that wasn't available back then either. Right. And that freedom, that independence that you can get and the leverage that these influencers have, at this point. So it's definitely evolving and it's changing. I see it as an evolution, you know, and I see it. Yeah, we have lots of opportunity. We have lots of options, as consumers. And so it's really nice to be able to choose what we consume. And yeah, the stuff that is boring is not going to keep going. And yeah, too bad.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Kevin, I'll ask Michael the same question. What was your first sports media job?
What do you mean job? I mean you got to get paid for it, right? I was an intern at the Hockey News for a while. I don't know if I saw a dime from that, but yeah, and that's actually the closest I ever got to anything really mainstream in terms of, you know, broadcast or anything like that. But that was my first job in the sports media industry.
Yeah, Michael.
I did a co-op back in my final year of high school at Headline Sports back in the day. Oh, nice. And that was, you know, running tapes or whatever it was. But my first actual paid job was a BA at Sportsnet clipping highlights, which, you know, at that time of my life, you know, I'm being paid to watch sports. So that was pretty cool. I'm maybe a little more optimistic about my start than Kevin was. but then I was holding a radar gun at the Blue Jays games too. Right. And getting the announcers licorice. So that was my start.
That's funny.
Hey, last question for you guys, and I'm not asking Michael you to give away any secrets, but is there a lane or is there a place where operators like yourself can go in terms of content? And what's the next play? Is it doing more live events? Is it finding different nuances to running live events? Is it more integration than like what we've seen with the locker room on the Sportsbook Interaction app? Like what is it you think is the next move for an operator like yours?
I would say less, more, not so much live events, but more activating about where, you know, following the crowds, where are the people, how do you get your brand out? How are you going to make yourselves known? And that's kind of what we are looking at, right? Whether it's not even sports, but there's a major concert in Vancouver and that being, you know, a region that we're prioritizing. That's a great, great opportunity for us to be on the ground, potentially, right? Partnerships like our one with St. Louis, we're activating at different locations, interacting with fans, telling them how to download the app, how to bet. Those are the kinds of opportunities we're looking at. As far as live event, like we're doing Thursday, I think that's just, you know, that just goes along with it, right? It's a different element. How you can, yeah, we are at St. Louis, we're a partner, but yet, look, you can actually interact with our brand. We are bringing, you know, the Gate 14 podcast. You're able to see what we do within the locker room that you're able to go on the app and bet along with them, right? So it's being where the people are and finding those types of opportunities.
Hey, Kev, I'll give the last word to you so you're not chirping me on WhatsApp as soon as we finish this interview.
What's your question?
Is there a missing link right now, or what excites you when you wake up in the morning about what the possibilities are in terms of content and working with operators like Sports Interaction? Like where do we go next?
I'm right now, you know, we have the content that we're doing, and I'm really happy with it. I'm personally working on some newer ideas, that is exploring the world of scripted content, exploring the world of game show type of content. I don't mind, you know, talking about it. You know, I want other people doing it too. I want other examples. I think that there's a huge place for the stuff that we're doing now, the opinion based, you know, content, the talk shows. And I'm exploring some other ways that we can sort of like put together short videos, that are a little bit, that tell a story, in a scripted format, and some game show stuff and some other stuff like that. I think it's really interesting to see. I mean, the tasks, you know, that I have, we have this great studio and we have these great producers, these great cameras. And now I'm thinking, so what can we do here? What can we do here that's innovative, right? And we're going to do a few experiments. Most of them are going to fail and be horrible, but we're going to get one thing out of it, I think, that's going to be really a game changer. And I think that's the opportunity that's in front of us now, is to take that really clear approach that we're in show business, right? Starting there, we have the people, we have the cameras, we have the producers. Now what, you know? And it's not easy, because we're influenced by all the stuff that's already existing, right? So how can I look beyond, like Michael did? How can I maybe grab a few people from Second City? How can I look beyond the pool of traditional sports media candidates and create content that appeals to sports fans, but is different than what's been made, you know, today? So that's what's exciting me.
That's Kevin Kennedy, the director of content and brand for Homestand Sports. Michael Zitney is also the director of content and brand for Sports Interaction. Guys, thanks so much. And we get to you two guys together, it feels like we could talk for 2 or 3 hours about the world of content and sports media. And so we'll do this at some point again, Michael. Maybe when the Blue Jays have fallen out of the playoff race by the middle or end of June.
we'll do our World Series show in November.
There you go.
Yeah. That sounds good. And yeah, just one more time. Sports Interaction hosting a live event at the St. Louis Bar and Grill in downtown Toronto on Thursday night. Michael, any other details you want to include?
Get there early, Kingham Bay. The show's going to start at 3:30. If you want your betting advice, be there. So it'll be a fun night.
I'll be there.
There's a good chance to be more people there than there will be at Tropicana Field. So,
very likely.
There you go. Hey, as always, the Gaming News Canada show appears on the regular podcast platforms. You can also find us at gamingnewscanada.ca. Thanks once again to Kevin Kennedy and Michael Zitney for doing this. And we look forward to hearing from you in the very near future.
Thank you for listening to the Gaming News Canada show. Sign up for our newsletter at gamingnewscanada.ca. Follow Steve McAllister on LinkedIn. Message Steve if you're interested in being a sponsor or featured guest.